also owes more than $50 billion in debt and has been unable to pay interest on its loans. Saturday's storming of the presidential palace capped months of demonstrations that the ruling establishment previously had tried to suppress. While earlier protests in May led to the exit of Prime Minister Mahinda Rajapaksa, the president himself refused to quit. If both Rajapaksa and Wickremesinghe resign, according to the country's constitution, the parliament speaker will serve as acting president until a new president is elected. The new all-party government is likely to be formed on July 20.
Now to talk more on this, we are joined by Mr. Saeed Khan, Director of Global Studies at Wayne State University from Detroit, Michigan. Now, Mr. Khan, first of all, welcome to the program. Now, this month's long demonstrations in Sri Lanka took a dramatic turn this week with protesters storming the residences of the country's president and prime minister. Now, did you see this coming?
I think in many ways it's not surprising that the kind of revolt we saw and the aftermath of it was heading in that direction. No one, of course, ever predicts that there's going to be essentially a palace coup. But if we take a look at what had been going on in Sri Lanka now for the last several months, the economic conditions within the country are extremely dire. The country has essentially run out of its foreign exchange. Therefore, it's unable to buy even the simplest of commodities, including petrol. There is such a shortage of petrol in Sri Lanka that except for emergency vehicles, access to petroleum products, gasoline, is not available. And you see this having then a kind of a snowballing effect. The inflation rate is close to 55%. Simple and basic commodities are not even available because Sri Lanka relies heavily on imported goods, being an island country. And at the same time, because of the lack of foreign exchange, imported goods cannot be paid for. So it becomes this rather vicious cycle. And there was a breaking point with many people in the country. To be fair, some of this was a function of COVID, as well as the global inflation and disruptions to supply chains. But the kind of scenes that we saw at the presidential palace was in many ways just a culmination of frustration that had been building for quite a bit of time now.
Mr. Khan, you've just mentioned that the island country has been grappling with rampant inflation and acute shortage of food and medicine. Do you also hold the Rajapaksa family government responsible for the situation?
Again, I think that there are some things that simply could not be foreseen. One, of course, being COVID, which had a major impact on foreign exchange and foreign currency being available within the country, some of which could then be paid for imported goods. Tourism is a massive revenue generator for Sri Lanka. And because of COVID over the last 2 years, that was something that just simply wasn't possible. At the same time, COVID is not the explanation for everything. Sri Lanka has had a policy of favoring imported goods with a deficit of export goods. As a result of it and its trade deficit, which are, of course, all policies that are government involved, we find that a lot of the blame has to go to the Rajapaksa regimes, prime minister and president both, because they are brothers, on implementing policies to burnish Sri Lanka's export ability of goods, opening up newer markets for where it could sell many of Sri Lanka's very important commodities, including tea. A failure to do that, failure to take better fiscal policy measures and to prepare the country for inevitabilities is certainly then something that, as they say, the buck stops at the desk of the leadership.
On that note, I would like to thank Mr. Khan for being on the program once again. He is a director of global studies at Wayne State University, Detroit, Michigan. Now, let's see how people have reacted on social media.
Former World Bank chief economist Kaushik Basu says Sri Lanka used to be a success story, but authoritarianism, divisive politics, persecution of minorities, and disastrous agricultural intervention caused the country's economy to crash. Prashant Bhushan, a leading Indian lawyer and human rights activist, attributes the downfall of Sri Lanka's Rajapaksa family to sowing communal hatred, encouraging communal violence, and neglecting the country's economy. Senior Indian journalist Aditya Menon says Sri Lanka's crisis is neither a lesson against dynasty, not against majoritarian bigotry, but against bad economic policies.
And that was our episode about the timeless tradition of Qawwali music in South Asia and the rapidly worsening crisis in Sri Lanka. We shall meet again next week. So till then, take good care.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم to another program of the Youth Station at IRIB English Radio.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother.
Oh, you're here.
Yes, I'm here as well.
Right, so in the studio we've got Sister Asma here.
Now welcome. I know that I have the talent of being invisible.
Yeah, well, that's a superpower that
yes.
Many people wish. Have you ever thought of leaving where you were born or where you grew up and going somewhere else?
No.
All right. Have you seen people who've done
that?
Of
course.
And have you seen people who've done that and then regretted that they've done it and returned to the place that they were originally from?
Yes, of course. Since we are human beings, we see many incidents upon different issues.
And people do make mistakes since they're humans. Why do they
migrate?
Leave? Yeah, why do they do that?
Well,
in the first
I guess,
place?
First of all, we have to differentiate. Since I know you're very much interested in etymology of words, I would like to ask you a question.
Right. No, I am certain that I do not know the answer. So you can just go on and answer yourself.
So there's a difference between actually migration
and immigration.
Immigration.
Right, what is it?
Immigration is typically something that is going to happen, like you leave your country forever.
Right.
And migration is sort of doing that for a job, or maybe after you afford enough of money, or I don't know, study.
Right, whatever
education.
Purpose you had, you fulfilled
yes.
it and you came back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fair
yeah.
enough.
So there's a difference, a ton of difference between these words, and we just wanted to differentiate between them at the very beginning of our discussion. So why do people go for migration?
Yeah, that was my question, but that was a smart move that you just threw it right back at me.
It's a circle, you know.
Yeah. Be it immigration or migration, right? One has to have certain requirements that he or she may not see being fulfilled
mm-hmm.
in the place they are.
Yeah.
It's another debate that whether it's got anything to do with reality, whether that requirement was possible to be fulfilled in that place that they were in the first place, right?
Yeah, of course.
But we're talking about their perspective,
mm-hmm.
the way they see it, right? Well, they see something is missing.
Mm-hmm.
They feel that there's something incomplete.
Yeah.
That may be around their society, or that may be because of the limitations that they feel around themselves, right?
Yeah. Or sometimes it happens that people do travel beyond the borders of their country for education.
Yeah. Why though?
Why? In order to improve themselves.
Right. But why not the place that they were in the first place? Why would they choose to leave that place, right? Not
yeah.
go for that specific
because
thing, whatever
they,
it was.
Just as you said, there is an illusion, perhaps, in their brain.
Right.
That
that's as we said, that's completely different, whether it's true or not, right?
Uh-huh,
that's completely different. But
mm-hmm.
what they see is something has to be completed. There is something that's incomplete in their minds,
so
right?
So you say that the main reason to go for migration or emigration, whatever, is to find some more of facilities?
Facilities might be one of the things that they see incomplete, mm-hmm. right? They see that this place that I'm around lacks something, uh-huh. right? Let's go from a very small thing, spectrum, which is a guy, he is a family, mm-hmm. right? And he's a rebel, for example. He's a rebellious yeah. young lad, right? Mm-hmm. And he sees that in this city, like, you know, people will just change their cities, not even just countries, right?
Yeah,
a
yeah.
city, from city to city, right?
Yes.
That youth might see that in this city, everyone knows me, right? And my mom and dad, I'm just a phone call away. They know where I am, right?
Uh-huh.
I can't do whatever I want to my heart's
yes.
will, right?
Yes,
I
yes.
want that liberty. I want that freedom. Mm-hmm. I want to be separate. I want to be independent, right?
Yeah.
So that's a type of escapism, right? This lad leaves a city, goes to another city, leaves the country, goes to another country because he wants that liberty, right? He wants no
sure.
chains around him. He wants to be free,
yeah.
right, in that mm-hmm. sense. So he leaves that country. So he leaves that country or the city, whatever.
Yeah.
In this example, mm-hmm. this young man or young woman felt their lack of freedom, right? In this
yeah.
certain example, right? Another young person or a student might leave their city, their country, go to another country
mm-hmm.
because they think that the field, the profession that this person has chosen has not been fully discovered in the country that they're in.
That
right?
is very true, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
that's very
they,
true.
Yeah. So they see that the education standards or level, or even if the education is right on the dot, but after I've done my education, I don't get enough jobs over
mm-hmm.
here. I get underpaid, for example,
yeah.
right? So they see a certain lacking, a certain sense of incomplete. I'm going to take a break from talking. Are you tired?
No, of course
not. Oh, well, I am tired.
Because we're having some very interesting stuff. We discussed on some very good things.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Shall we carry on?
No. So you mentioned some very important factors for migration. One of them was freedom, searching for freedom. The other one was to complete something that you feel is incomplete.
Right. Even freedom, like in my opinion, even freedom itself,
mm-hmm.
All of it is like sub-topics or sub-branches
Division.
Or offshoots mm-hmm. of what missing something.
Exactly, right? Yeah. I accept that. Well, let's make it more real and come back to the real world.
Wow, so
well,
I wasn't being real.
No. I mean, we were talking about the reasons as if they were something metaphysical and talking beyond the curtains. We were just talking about the reasons behind those migrations that happen in the real world.
That's
so
going to be a very, very long...
So, you see, we see many people that would love to leave Eastern countries in order to go to West.
Mm-hmm.
And by West, we specifically mean United States of America.
Right.
So many people had this illusion one day at a time in history that there is a dreamland, which is America, and when they go there, they would fulfill all their dreams and everything is going to be so pitchy. And out of nowhere, they're going to turn affluent, wealthy, rich, or they would have so much of, tools
yeah.
for
yeah,
their lives.
The standard American dream.
American dreams. Now, we see that people who lived in that time turned into lost generation because there actually was not such a thing called as American dream. And right now...
Yeah, people actually needed to wake up from the American dream.
We came to this point that people of America are searching to have some other places to go for.
Right. Are all of the
We're
people...
not used to... Actually, not all of them.
Right.
We're not used to hear this, you know? People from West trying to find a new country to go to.
It does happen all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Within the West, for example, you'd see people from Britain leave Britain, go Canada, settle up over there. And mm-hmm. you'd see people from different places that move from their certain country, from their country to another country.
Yeah. But you know, nowadays, the reasons have changed.
Reasons have changed.
Yeah.
Right. What were the reasons before and what do you think are the reasons now?
You know, now, even if they have enough of facilities around them, they would search for another country to go for. For example, the people of America right now are not suffering from these sort of issues, you know. They have wealth and perhaps they have prosperity, but what they're searching for is perhaps peace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, all what we see in the news,
like, there is a lot of
harshness.
Poverty in America.
Yeah.
There is a lot of poverty in America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not talk about, we don't mean to judge, but let's not talk about the people low who are under the a line of poverty, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about people, as you mentioned, wealthy people, rich people.
They seem
right?
not to have any problem in their life.
Right. As an outsider, I'd see them and yeah. I'd be like, you don't have a problem. Like, you've got mm-hmm. mansions, you've got villas, you've got cars, you've got a family, you've got everything, you've got money, you've got
yeah.
influence, right? All these things you've got in your pocket. Why would you want to leave that place, right?
Yes.
And that, yeah. Those people, yeah, that's a big question mark. Why would they want to leave mm-hmm. that place or, you know, leave that comfort zone that they've made for themselves? They spent their entire life to construct that comfort zone that
yeah.
they were in. Now that they have it, why do they choose to break free of that zone that they've developed from themselves?
Exactly. You know, I've been reading an article in Forbes.com and it's talked actually a bit about the reasons behind that. And it says that the reasons for that range from different things, be it political, racial, or as the Supreme Court has passed some laws regarding abortion, or, you know, safety issues, I mean, peace. These are the things that are very common in there right now.
Mm-hmm.
As
right.
the reasons for people to migrate from there and find a plan B, sort of a country or city to go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned abortions because since the court has mm-hmm. ordered abortions to be illegal in certain states in the United States, and the president cannot overrule or overlook or revoke the law that has been made by
mm-hmm.
the court, right?
Yeah.
But here he is. What does he say? He says, right, people who want an abortion done and it's illegal in their state, they can just go to another state, get
yeah.
their abortion done, and return to the state they were originally in.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
It's not like always migration would happen from a bad place to a good place. Sometimes people would do migration from a good place into a better place or into a moderate country even.
Right. But let's go back to the first thing that we discussed, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that good country, in that wealthy country, in that so-called stabilized, stable
yeah.
country, right?
Mm-hmm.
That person who is deciding to move from that place, go to another place, is certainly sensing an incomplete feeling around himself, right?
He
feels something's lacking
yeah.
around him, which is why he has to leave.
Well, just to give the gist of what we were talking about to our dear audience, I would say that we're talking about migration or emigration, whatever. Just
moving around.
Yeah, moving around, leaving your country into another place. Well, we said that there are different causes for that, different factors. And the main idea upon that, as the brother mentioned, is just the fact that you feel something is missing around you and you need to complete it to find it somewhere else.
Your idea of perfection is something that you go after.
That's very interesting. Yeah, perfection is the thing that would lead you into migration and leaving your recent place into a different one.
You might define completion in a certain way and another person might define it another way.
Yeah.
Right. But they're all after what? Completion.
That is very true. Yeah. It's a general fact.
Yeah.
So thank you, dear listeners, for staying around. This was all the time that we had for today's discussion. Thank you for choosing us. Until another session, I bid you farewell.
If you did not choose us, you better choose us.
Yes, there's no other way for you. And I will leave you to the never slipping eyes of God.
I have what I have. My love is strong. Because of you, in weakness I am braver. My defender and my savior. My giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance. Aware when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love.
With you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone and congratulations to all on the occasion of Eid al-Adhir, the day on which God Almighty perfected religion by ordering his last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, to declare Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, as his vicegerent while returning from his farewell Hajj pilgrimage. So let us contemplate upon an aphorism by the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Failures are often the results of timidity and fears. Disappointments are the results of bashfulness. Hours of leisure pass away like summer clouds. Therefore, do not waste opportunity of doing good.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Almighty. Dear brothers, dear sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We offer our congratulations to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially today's special and special occasion, Qadir Khum. Happy Eid! Today, Monday, is the 18th of Zulhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear brothers and sisters, so welcome to this episode of today's special. Today is a real special day. Today is Eid al-Qadir, greatest Eid of Allah. Congratulations to all of you all around the world.
أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate Celebrate Let's celebrate الله الله Thank you for this day
The significance of Qadir is not confined to the appointment of the commander of the faithful. Of course, this appointment is important, but what is more important is that the rule and the regulation was specified. It became clear that in the Islamic community, the monarchic government is meaningless. It became clear that individual and aristocratic government, the government of golden power, the government of pooling and accumulation of wealth, and the government of lustfulness are meaningless. This regulation was issued in Qadir. When this regulation was issued, then this day have those who reject faith given up all hope of your religion. When it was issued, the enemies lost all hope of changing the path of religion. We offer our congratulations to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially today's special and special occasion, Qadir Khum. Happy Eid!
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to disseminate the news and message of Qadir Khum. Imagine that some people, after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to select their own leader and they imposed their own leader, selected leader, on the whole Muslim community. And in this way, a great schism was fabricated, in fact, in the Islamic world. Had it not had been so, and people would have accepted the immediate imamate and successorship of Imam Amir al-Mu'minin as-Salam, it would be far better, and we would find out that how the Islamic world, how Islamic history and how the Muslim world would have benefited from the sagacious leadership and the sublime ideas of Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. Imagine that, for example, when Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam addressed Malik ibn al-Harith al-Ashtar al-Nakhai in his historic letter and epistle to him, when he dispatched Malik ibn al-Harith al-Ashtar to Egypt as the governor over there. Whenever you look at this episode, you find that it's a It's a universal charter. And you find that, okay, how a Muslim leader should treat other people and his subjects, okay, in another land. And it's really a pity that Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam wasn't able to receive his divinely stated right after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad. Yet, as Muslims, we ought to celebrate the day of Ghadir Khum in commemoration of the unique personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Thank you.
اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion.
الله مولاي وأنا مولى المؤمنين ألا من كنت مولاه فهذا علي مولاه اللهم وال من والاه وعاد من عاداه أيها الناس الحق دائما مع علي وعلي مع الحق.
The status of Eid al-Ghadir, the day of gifts. It has been narrated from Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib that he said, when you meet each other on the day of Eid al-Ghadir, shake hands with one another with greetings of peace and exchange gifts on this day, and let those who are present convey this to those who are not, and let the rich person give something to the poor and the powerful one to the weak, as the Messenger of Allah commanded me to also do this. Eid al-Ghadir, the day of protection. It has been narrated from Amir al-Mu'minin, peace be upon him, that he said, how shall the state of that person be who has taken the responsibility upon himself for a number of the believing men and believing women on the day of Ghadir, since I personally have guaranteed that person protection from disbelief and poverty in the presence of Allah, the Most High. Happy Eid al-Ghadir to all dear brothers and sisters in faith. Congratulations to our dear listeners of today's special, especially this program. Today's special.
Alhamdulillah alladhi. Alhamdulillah alladhi. Ja'alana. المتمسكين بولايته علي بن أبي طالب والأئمة المعصومين عليهم السلام.
Why did Imam Ali accept to be the leader of the Islamic society? We want to answer shortly to this question in this part. If people had not come to me and supporters had not exhausted the argument, and if there had been no pledge of Allah with the learned to the effect that they should not acquiesce in the gluttony of the oppressor and the hunger of the oppressed, I would have cast the rope of caliphate on its own shoulders and would have given the last one the same treatment as the first one. Then you would have seen that in my view, this world of yours is no better than the sneezing of a goat. Nahjul Balagha, Sermon 3. The commander of the faithful Imam Ali alayhi salam has acted on what he has said after Muslims gathered around his house and demanded that he accept the caliphate. Ali ibn Abi Talib was in a quandary. On the one hand, he was indifferent to the pleasures of life. All the lures of life that were attractive to the people were not attractive to him. People kill for power. They commit crimes for power, telling lies, using deception, and adopting a hypocritical outlook are measures which people had no scruples over. But from the viewpoint of the commander of the faithful Imam Ali, power in itself is something of little value. He would look at it as trifle, something to despise, and to turn one's back on. But on the other hand, Commander of the Faithful Imam Ali would think about people's rights. If he did not accept the caliphate, then who would do so, and who would give life to people and to Muslims? Who would put an end to discrimination and to class inequalities? Who would take away usurp properties from usurpers and give them back to their rightful owners? Who would fight against oppressors? Why would we ignore this great right of individuals? This is why he accepted caliphate.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي.
Someone once asked me, why do you exaggerate the virtues of Ali? So I thought to myself, is it possible to overstate the merits of this man? You can't speak about someone unless you know them. And no one knew Ali like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So what did the Holy Prophet say about the virtues of Ali? After all, the Holy Prophet's words are divinely inspired, as the Holy Quran says in Surah An-Najm, Surah number 53, verses 3 and 4, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak of his own accord. What he speaks is inspired revelation. So when Muhammad speaks about Ali, it's actually God himself who is speaking about Ali. So what did the Holy Prophet say about the virtues of Ali? It is recorded that Khawarizmi, the prominent Sunni scholar in his book Manaqib, he says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi one day said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Ali, لولا أني أخاف أن يقول فيك ما قالت النصارى في المسيح لقلت اليوم فيك مقالة لا تمر بملأ من المسلمين إلا أخذ التراب من قدمك. أو علي, if it were not for the fear that I have that Muslims will say about you what the Christians said about Jesus, I would speak about you in such a way that whenever you pass by, whenever you walk by a group of people, they will take the dust from your feet to seek blessings. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has filled the universe with wondrous signs. He created the luminous sun, the dazzling stars, and the majestic mountains. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us His beauty and His power and His wisdom. And sometimes He wants to show us His illustrious signs in people. So He creates someone like Ali ibn Abi Talib. My dear brothers and sisters, we ask Allah azza wa jal to raise us on the Day of Judgment with Ali ibn Abi Talib. And why is Ali so dear to us? Because he was the closest one to the Holy Prophet. He was the gate to the city of knowledge. He was the husband to the daughter of the Prophet. And he was the one who defended the Prophet when all others ran away. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to raise us with Ali ibn Abi Talib on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the tawfiq to be buried in the holy city of Najaf besides the commander of the faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi alayhi. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to illuminate our hearts with the light of Ali.
Congratulations on our great Eid, Muslims' great Eid, Eid al-Qadir. And thank you very much for joining us. Keep us in your prayer, and till another meeting, fi aman Allah.
Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam. Children are wearing new clothes. Bright colors fill the streets. Their faces full of laughter. Their pockets full of sweets. Let us rejoice indeed. This is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed. For this is the day of Eid.
اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
Today I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you and chosen for you Islam as a religion.
Eid Qadir celebrates the divine appointment of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Holy Prophet, as Prophet Muhammad's vicegerent and successor. Here at IRIB English Radio, congratulate all our Muslim listeners on the auspicious and joyous occasion of Eid Qadir. A happy Eid Qadir to all our listeners.
Cultural news. Social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The self-portrait was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the self-portrait is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years, some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
The more scientists make progress in space exploration, the more they get persuaded to delve into the mysteries of the universe. Now, the release of stunning full-color images from deep in the cosmos has put astronomers on the edge of their seats. NASA has unveiled high-resolution pictures from its James Webb telescope, which is the largest space-based observatory ever launched. The images took 2 weeks to render from raw telescope data. The $9 billion infrared James Webb was launched on Christmas in 2021. It reached its destination in solar orbit nearly 1 million miles from Earth a month later. Then the telescope underwent months-long process to unfurl all of its components. James Webb is now finely tuned and fully focused. The telescope is expected to shed light on the life cycles on planets of planets and galaxies.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The International Fajj Fashion and Clothing Festival has drawn fashion designers from Iran and around the world. The designs displayed are trendy and at the same time they conform to the Islamic dress code. Yusuf Jalali has this report.
It's the Iranian fashion's biggest day. The 11th Fajr Fashion and Clothing Festival brought under one roof fashion designers from across Iran and some other Muslim nations to step up their designs.
I have participated here as a fashion designer. I am so happy to be a part of this event because it acts as a platform that links designers to producers and it helps like promote quality design in the market.
This festival is a major event in the Islamic world's fashion industry because it helps promote fashionable clothes that conform to Islamic guidelines.
A typical Iranian woman wears a button-up coat called manto and a scarf covering the head. Some others wear a piece of cloth called chador, which covers the body from head to toe. One of the challenges Iranian fashion designers have to deal with is to tailor their designs to Islamic dress code or hijab while keeping them trendy.
Clothes represent the identity of a nation. As a designer, my mission is to design clothes that best represent the dresser's nationality and their culture. At the same time, the aesthetic aspect of the garment need to catch the attention. I think this is an ultimate artistry if accomplished.
Smuggling is another persisting problem in the Iranian clothing industry. Out of the $8 billion annual turnover of Iran's garment industry, a whopping $5 billion is supplied through smuggling, say activists here. Experts say one of the reasons smuggling has the lion's share in Iran's clothing market is that it's more cost-effective to import foreign clothes rather than produce them domestically.
We are making our best efforts to push down the production costs, including the associated taxes, in order to promote designs that reflect our Islamic and Iranian identities, opposed to Western designs that seek to dominate global markets.
With all the actors in Iran's fashion industry present in the Fajr Festival, the event is seen as a place to highlight and address the challenges, with the aim to provide the stage for Iranian fashion activists to shine in the domestic market.
It might seem contradictory when we would associate fashion with the Islamic dress code, but it's the art of a fashion designer that sews traditions to style and designs clothes that are both stylish and hijab. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Elephants are the largest living animals on earth that, in many cultures, are associated with good luck, wisdom, and fertility. But their overpopulation has become a matter of concern in the southeastern African nation of Malawi.
We want to reduce the population of elephants in this park, in Luanda National Park, because currently we have 600 plus elephants in this park. We would be comfortable, ecologically speaking, that is, to have 300 elephants in this park.
Officials say they will relocate 250 elephants from a national park in a southern town to another park by the end of July. They say the plan is part of a national conservation initiative to maintain healthy habitats in the country's national parks. Establishing viable elephant populations and ensuring the prosperity of local communities around the parks are said to be the other aspects. Residents say the elephants often stray into their gardens and damage their crops. Authorities had relocated some 300 elephants from the same town in 2019.
A zoo in Mexico City celebrates the birthday of two very special residents, bringing cheers and excitement to visitors. Chinese pandas Xin Xin and Xuan Xuan have turned 35 and 33, becoming the oldest pandas in human captivity. China gifted their ancestors to Mexico back in 1975 to boost the relationships between the two countries. Later on, and thanks to the hard work of caretaker teams, 8 cubs were born from the parents. Zoo officials say for them, learning the A to Z of panda care was a long journey.
The pandas living in Chapultepec, Xuan Xuan and Xin Xin, turned 35 and 33 years old, respectively. When their parents arrived, we didn't know much about pandas, so vets and biologists had to follow recommendations from those who took care of giant pandas in the People's Republic of China. From then on, we evolved. We found new and better diets and daily care practices such as vaccine administration or parasite removal. Then they started to breed, which was quite a success since it was the first panda that was born and which survived, named Toy.
The birthday celebration has coincided with the zoo's 99th foundation anniversary. A panda's normal lifespan is estimated at about 15 to 20 years for those out in nature and about 30 years for the ones in human care. But the good news is, despite their old age, Xuan Xuan and Xin Xin are in perfectly good shape. A goat in the Pakistani city of Karachi has made the headlines for its not-so-ordinary looks. The animal owns strikingly long ears. Simba was only born last month and his ears have already reached the length of 54 centimeters. The goat's breeder, Muhammad Hassan Narejo, says he has approached Guinness World Records to see if Simba can be included as the greatest of all time, or the goat, for this peculiar feature. The kid is in the center of attention, so he receives all sorts of help to live a smoother life. This includes a special harness for his ears and daily religious rituals to wish him good health. The breeder says that by promoting Simba's image, he is trying to introduce Pakistan as a major goat breeding nation.
The sky is the limit for wind sports in Iraq's Kurdistan region as members of the paragliding team launched into the sunset. Tourists have also come to watch team members bravely run towards the edge of the cliff of Mount Asmar. They usually take off facing the west to catch the sunset and then glide down towards the grey green meadows. The windy landscape around Iraq's northeastern city of Sulaymaniyah is a hot spot for paragliding. Participants of the sport say it requires a lot of physical strength and mental concentration. Some say their favorite aspect of the activity is the intense silence when flying high above the ground.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.